Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Blue Moon.
Welcome to the Man City Show. It's Nigel Rothman back in the chair. Well, we just managed to catch our breath after an eight-goal thriller at the Bridge this weekend. City failed to win, but go into the international break on top of the Premier League. Earlier in the week, City brushed past Young Boys 3-0 to secure a place in the Champions League knockout stages. No league games to look forward to, so we'll kind of talk about other City-related stuff. And to do that, with me, I've got three guests. Welcome to broadcasting legend John Stapleton. We'll leave it there. Welcome also to Nick Goldstone. Hi, Nick.
Hi, Nigel.
And also to Rob Barron, CTID. Hi, Rob.
Hi, Nigel.
Listen. I'm going to start with an opposition player, actually. Someone who doesn't play for Manchester City, which I know is unusual. I'll give you a clue. He was born in Withenshaw. How do you think, put yourself in Cole Palmer's shoes at the end of that game. He's got his family in the stands, probably all City fans. He's a City fan as well. What a game that boy had. Put yourselves, how did he feel? Rob Behrens, how did Cole Palmer feel at the end of that game? Put yourself in his shoes if you possibly can. I know you're a fine footballer in your day yourself. How do you think he felt?
I was never a United supporter, which I think he was originally. But look, this was a great performance by Cole Palmer, which will go down in history as being a brilliant contribution to what Chelsea did. He's been playing extremely well. He's playing better than he ever played for City, as far as I can see. His contribution to the Chelsea midfield was brilliant. He had the guts to not only tackle back, but to score a wonderful penalty, you know, when he was under intense pressure. And he didn't lose his cool or his friendships after the game with the City players. And they showed him the respect that he deserved with what was a personal triumph. And, you know, £42.5 million was very good value to Chelsea. And we should be thinking good luck to him and hope that he doesn't play like that against us again. Sterling also played well, and there was an element of payback in the way that the both of them played. But it was not a disaster by any means.
We'll obviously get onto the game in a bit more detail, and obviously, as Rob rightly said, Sterling played his part as well with a goal indeed. John, just sticking with Palmer for the time being, right to sell him? Obviously, hindsight's a wonderful thing, but did we do the right thing selling him?
Well, I think Pep takes a view, if they don't want to be there, you might as well let him go. There's no point in having him hanging around if they're not keen to stay. And his view, as I understand it, was that he wasn't getting enough starts in the team. I think he started twice as many times for Chelsea as he ever started for City already. So you can understand the lad's frustration. I agree with everything Rob said. I mean, a staggering performance by this boy. What was he, 20, 21 years old, something like that? And to hold his nerve at the end like that, the way he did, And afterwards, I mean, he's so cool afterwards, you know, I don't practice penalties much, you know, just take it all in my stride. There were 40,000 people there, just half of them hoping he would miss. Well, not half of them, but certainly all the City fans hoping he would miss. He didn't. Brilliant, brilliant player. Great contribution to the game overall. Hats off to the boy and best of luck to him, I say.
A great performance from Palmer. What do you want to add? We've had comments from Rob and from John. Your take on it, Nick?
Yeah, I think what we've got to just be aware of is the great luxury that we have that is afforded to us, that is not just all the games we win, the trophies we win, the great things that we see, but the luxury to enjoy a game like last night when we don't win, and we're even playing, you know, we're even lauding a former player. You know, you don't get to do that a great deal in football, and we, you know, we enjoy great, I certainly enjoy hostility and battle in our game. It's part of it, but, you know, there are times when you've just got to say, I'd rather watch a game like that a lot of the time, even if we don't win, not all the time, even if we don't win, then, you know, the repetition of attack v defence that we see week in, week out against us. We're very fortunate. It was a fantastic game. It was a shame we didn't win it, but it was a great game.
It was a great game, John, and I think Nick's absolutely right. I mean, it's great when those come up. They don't come up that often, of course, but what a fantastic contest. If someone would have said to us, you'd score four goals at the Bridge, but you'd come away without a win, I probably wouldn't have believed them. So a tremendous game of football.
Fantastic game of football. Goals galore, highs, lows, you know, setbacks, drama, controversy, major defensive errors. It had absolutely everything. Well, it's not often I agree with Jamie Carragher. In fact, I can't remember the last time I did agree with Jamie Carragher, but when he said, you know, it's a privilege to watch a game like this and it shows what a great league the Premier League is, I had to agree. I also had to agree with him. I can't believe I'm saying this. I also had to agree with him when he said that, frankly, now the team deserved to lose because they didn't, in my view. I thought Chelsea came to the game to attack us and did so very efficiently and deserved their point. And you know, let's face it, a point away from home at Chelsea is no disgrace, particularly bearing in mind, I was looking it up this afternoon, they spent £1 billion on players in the last 2 years. So, you know, it's going to come right for them sometime. And it's certainly, and hats off them for adopting the stance they took.
Chelsea trying to buy the league, eh? Terrible thing. Rob, I know you like controversy. I know you like refereeing decisions. I don't know whether you agree with Carragher about the penalty. He seemed to get his knickers in a twist. For me, looked like a penalty to me all day long. I don't think it was I think on Match of the Day, I don't think it was even mentioned as being even a contentious decision. How did you see it?
I don't think any of us ever thought that Jamie Carragher was an impartial observer. And his disgraceful shouting and dismay at Haaland being awarded a penalty just confirmed that and revealed it. So I think it was not very impressive by him. I've seen a lot less than that given for a penalty. It was a clear penalty. It's fabulous that Haaland has scored four goals in two games when he's alleged to be going through something of a lean period. I mean, may we all go through such lean periods. It was just a wonderful game, end to end, and very unlike City because they didn't have control. And that's very, very unusual. And as colleagues have said, Guardiola and Ruben Dias made critical mistakes at important times. And we didn't have the midfield in the way that we usually do. So we clearly missed John Stones. And maybe Pep got it wrong. I know I'm not allowed to say that, in playing Doku rather than Grealish. Because when Grealish came on, although he's slower than Doku, he never gives the ball away. And that is critical to City's stability. But it was a wonderful game, and it was a privilege to watch it. And just one other thing, Nigel. Football has changed this season in two ways. First of all, VAR has become even more of a mess than it was before. And secondly, in that game, there were 17 minutes of added time, which means that, you know, the nature of football has changed, that after 90 minutes, you're going into a whole host of other situations which normally you wouldn't do. And the difficulty is that European referees don't interpret it that way, whereas we do. So it must be difficult for the players.
Nick, I don't know which particular point you want to pick up, because Rob's covered a lot of points there.
18.
Indeed. So I mean, I've, a number of those I've kind of listed anyway as potential talking points. But maybe should we start with the negative stuff and the errors and the lack of control, I think was the word that Rob used. Maybe we should start there. And also maybe linked to that, does that mean that we miss John Stones? Was he the reason? Is he the person that is at? We talk about missing Rodri for three games and what that meant, but actually, John Stones, I think, is probably an even bigger miss, isn't he? I mean, was that the catalyst? Was that the reason why it was so difficult at the weekend? Maybe.
Yeah, I think there's exceptionally good points. They're very much linked. I mean, I do think we miss John Stones enormously, because he's become an almost unique player. And there is, well, I mean, it's obvious, having said that, there is nobody else really who can do that role in the way that he does it. And I thought it was somewhat audacious of Pep to pick the 11 that he picked when he didn't have Stones in that sort of auxiliary midfield role, because he put Rodri in there without any real additional cover. Akanji doesn't play that role anywhere near as well as John Stones does. He was, I thought, you know, and he tends to be the defender who is tasked with stepping out of the back four when Stones isn't there. And he did do that, but not in any way in the way that Stones does it. So I thought that there were various things that were linked. The lack of John Stones, which I think is now an enormous miss for us. The fact that he didn't play an additional midfielder alongside Rodri, and he could have, I thought that Bernardo could have played a bit deeper. And I thought that was one thing that we may have done during the course of the game to make that happen a bit more, to give a bit more defensive cover. It didn't. And then alongside that, playing Doku instead of Grealish, you know, is a very much attacking and positive move, but it doesn't give us that additional ability to hold the ball and control the game quite as much. I think that Doku has got, you know, fantastic ability. People might say he didn't have a great game yesterday for whatever reason. It wasn't one of his better games. I don't think he was massively to blame in any particular way. But, you know, Grealish arguably would have given us that additional bit of control. So I think all those things taken together meant that, you know, we were more exposed. And I would just add that the criticism, particularly of Diaz, you know, was always going to come. That's what happens when you concede four. He had a couple of moments. But, you know, we've got exceptionally good technical players of incredible talent. But even so, we are better as a group than our individuals. We are more than the sum of our parts normally. And that is because of that incredible coordination and control that we have, which for most of yesterday we didn't have, for all of those reasons, and because Chelsea played very, very well. You know, I thought they had their best game for years.
John, can I just kind of pick up a few of those bits and maybe just ask for your view? I think this word control, I'm sure we'll come up with some title by the end of the show that will include the word control. It seems to be the word of the day so far that was maybe lacking. We've talked about John Stones in particular, and then Diaz at the back. And I can maybe sort of throw Guardiola into there as well, who didn't have his best game either, I don't think. Just your thoughts on that control and what was missing for you, John?
Yeah, I think things improved when we got Kovacic on, didn't it? I agree with everything that's been said. We did miss John Stones in a big way. And I think in midfield we were not at our sparkling best because of the absence of John Stones. Kovacic changed things a bit, but that was quite late on in the game when he came on. Yeah. Guardiola didn't have his best game. Got his feet all tangled up, didn't he, for that goal? Difficult, hard look on the guy. And Diaz, well, gave away the penalty. And again, not his best performance. Overall, defensively, we were somewhat lacking. Midfield-wise, we were somewhat lacking. But having said that, we were playing a good team. Our team on the day played extremely well. Let's face it, as we've said from the start, you know, they came at us right from the very word go. They came to give us a game, and they certainly did give us a game. I'll just reiterate what I said earlier. No shame in drawing one at Stamford Bridge in circumstances like that, particularly bearing in mind that our two old boys played out of their skins. I mean, how many times have we seen Raheem Sterling play like that for Man City in the last year he was there? Hardly ever, if ever, frankly. And I'm sure there's a bit of him saying, I'll just show the buggers, you know.
Yeah.
I'm sure there was, you know.
Yeah.
That sounds daft. Likewise, Cole, you know, because, you know, both of them had something to prove. And did they prove it? They proved it beyond all reasonable doubt, in my view.
Something that's taken up a few column inches, and I know we've covered this before on the show a few times, and some people aren't really that interested, others get quite excited about it, and that is the issue of ex-players and how they celebrate against their former sides. And I'm just, I know, just because a lot of people have been talking about it. In fact, on Twitter, Lee Luxton described this celebration as humble, was the word that he used, which he quite liked. Paul Statto, he's also commented as well on Twitter, because he doesn't have an issue. You've got a new employer. You celebrate as long as you're not disrespectful. I'm not sure how you do that. Do both, but there we go. So Nick, your thoughts, how strongly do you feel about this? It does get a lot of comment when players do score against their old sides. And, of course, we had, as we said already, two of them with both Sterling and Cole Palmer. Your thoughts on that, Nick?
Well, I think we have the whether you consider it the height or the low point, but I guess Emmanuel Adebayor showed everybody how it can be done. But you know, that was a while ago now. I thought they both, Raheem Sterling has gone far too long for anyone to be too bothered. Cole Palmer seemed perfectly respectful to me, in a situation where he had absolutely no right to be, quite frankly, after scoring an injury time penalty. I've got no major issue with it. It's a bit of a nonsense as far as I'm concerned.
Okay. John, arguably, you could say, however, if you are, I don't know, a City fan and an ex-player comes along, then, you know, it's you don't want people to be disrespectful. But at the same time, if you're a Chelsea fan and you just got a point against the champions, sure, you don't really want your kind of goal scorer to go and kind of turn, almost shrug his shoulders in front of the crowd, what he did. So there is a balance here, isn't there?
Yeah, there is, of course. And I thought both of them behaved, if not impeccably, perfectly okay. But, you know, let's face it, you know, their contract with Manchester City is over. End of story. It's like you moving to a new job, you know. Well, they are moving to a new job. You know, they're serving a different master now. So, and it would be ridiculous of them not to celebrate in some way or other. I remember the Adebayor one. That was insane. I was there. I remember he ran the length of the pitch, didn't he? Ridiculous. Ridiculous performance. Speaking about overreactions, though, the Chelsea manager didn't cover himself in glory at the end.
What was his problem? What was he complaining about? I couldn't work out what it was problem
the
ref was.
Had blown the whistle before, I mean, when he thought that, I think Sterling still had a scoring chance, you know. In fairness to him, right, he did apologise later, said he stepped over the line, and he apologised to Pep as well for not even shaking Pep's hand, because he was so intent on berating the ref, he forgot that Pep was there waiting to shake his hand, and Pep gave up in the end and walked down the tunnel. So, you know, in fairness to the Chelsea manager, he did apologise. I just think overall, I hate to say this because we like a bit of controversy on this program, there was not very much to complain about for any of us. You know, it's just a fantastic game of football. I thought that most of the players behaved, if not impeccably, very well throughout the game. And I reiterate, it was just a privilege to watch. Fantastic game. I even had United fans ringing me, two of them ringing me up saying, congratulations, what a wonderful spectacle. I wish we could play like that.
Rob, just quickly on the goal celebration bit first, and then maybe after that you can maybe talk about the negatives and the lack of control and the defensive errors. Just maybe try and focus on some of the positives. We've done it for Chelsea. Maybe we should probably focus a bit on the City positives as well. But the goal celebration first, briefly from you.
Well, I loved Cole Palmer's celebration, which was a kind of hangdog, what can you do kind of expression, which I think is wonderful. It's really original, and I can't criticise that. I remember Dennis Law. Of course, you're too young to remember this, Nigel, but when he scored for City in relegating United, he refused to celebrate. And Colin,
I was there, Rob, too young. Okay. I was there. I was all there, right, at Old Trafford. Yeah, well, I was definitely not too young, as you very well know.
Do you remember that he wouldn't celebrate? And, you know, people are entitled to do it. I think time has moved on. I read that Sterling said that he thought about what he should do and he paused to show respect before he celebrated. Now, I think Sterling left City with bad blood, and I think he's behaved very well in not raising that since he left. So I have no problem with either of them. That's very good. I mean, the positives for me are that Haaland is just fabulous, but the person who gets the stick, who is also fabulous, is Phil Foden, and he's playing magnificently. He also had a lovely game against Young Boys. He scored a fabulous goal. He's very influential. He's an integral part of the team now, and that is enormously encouraging to me because he's too precious to push to one side.
Other positives from you then, Nick? What did you pick out from a City point of view? We've obviously got the Foden performance, Haaland on a lean streak, as you say, only scoring four in the last two games, I think Rob mentioned, so a concern there maybe. But apart from that, any positives you can come up with?
Well, I would say Julian Alvarez, actually. Thought he had a great game, but he seems to be just getting better and better now, and he's becoming really, really integral. Not quite sure. I mean, he's a playmaker. Is he a number 10? He's not a number 10. I don't know. But he's always making things happen. It feels like, in terms of his positional play, it's just clicked for him in a way that it hadn't quite done last year. He's scoring goals and he's making things happen. So that's a real positive for me.
All right. Can we look back to Young Boys? I've almost forgotten, actually. I mean, thanks for reminding us, Rob, that Phil Foden scored. I know it was 3-0. John, listen, qualification again for what is that 11 or 12 seasons? I forget now. On the trot, we got through now to the knockout stage of the Champions League. Pretty comfortable performance. Allows, obviously, Pep to kind of rotate even more to keep people fresh for the Premier League, etc. But your reflections on that Young Boys game?
I don't think I've ever seen such a one-sided game. I can't remember seeing such a one-sided game. It was incredible. I think it was Danny What's-His-Face who pops up on TV, said afterwards, watching City's getting boring now. And he said that as a compliment. You know, it was so predictable. I mean, we just controlled the game from beginning to end. They didn't have a shot on target the whole match. You know, it was an absolute walkover. And it does become, if not boring, it becomes so predictable. You know, there's no sense of excitement. I mean, that game compared to the one at the weekend, well, they don't compare at all, you know, as an entertainment. And wonderful news for us at City, of course, to qualify with such ease again. Takes the pressure off the Premier League, takes the pressure off that particular competition, rather, so we can concentrate on the Premier League. No complaints whatsoever. Good team selection again. Can't fault Pep.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns.
Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Anything to add, Nick, on the kind of the young boys' result? 3-0, one-sided.
Not really. Some really, really fabulous goals. The Haaland stripes, absolutely superb. Foden, brilliant goal. There isn't that much else to say, I'm afraid.
Rob will find something.
Well, I think that what was encouraging was that the players, they made at least four changes between young boys and Chelsea. And Rico Lewis had a very good game. Nunes played very well, and Kovacic as well. So that's encouraging. I mean, the disappointing thing for me is that he won't use Phillips. I mean, Pep talks about Phillips being good when a game is out of control. Well, if ever a game was out of control, it was against Chelsea. And he didn't make the most of him. So I think he came off on after 60 minutes, but the game was dead by then. But what it shows is that there is a very fine squad. And John's right that we've qualified, but we haven't finished top of the group. And in order to have advantage in the draw and play at home second, we need to win the next game. So we can't be too carefree about who's selected for the Leipzig game.
Can I speak, Robert, on one point, Nigel? Nunes, you know, I hope I'm not being unfair, but I've not been so impressed with Nunes. Am I missing something? I mean, I've watched him a few times now. He's never done anything particularly badly or wrong, but I've never come away thinking, wow, what am I missing, Rob?
Well, I mean, you've got to give the... it's a fair question. I think you have to give the guy time. To fit into City is no easy task, as we know. I think Doku's the only one to come in and hit the ground running for a long time. Nunes is enormously skilled. His ability to pass the ball and to keep the ball under pressure, I think, is makes him a player of quality. And I think we're going to see that more and more. And he has given the ball away from time to time, as you say. But I think he's getting better. And that's, to me, very encouraging. I thought he played well against young boys.
Yeah, I did. On the question, do you mind me taking over for a minute, Nigel? One other point. On the question of Doku, he met his match, relaxed, but go for a drink. He met his match at the weekend. He met his match at the weekend in Reese, didn't he? Doku. I'm saying to whoever wants to answer, Robert.
Well, I'm having a rest now, so we're in charge, John. So this is for Nick, Robin. Nick. Just to be clear, Robin, Nick, John's in charge. I'm having a rest. My mic's going off. My camera's going off.
I think broadcasting, Nigel...
Excuse me. I'm in the chair at the moment. Broadcasting legend John Stapleton is in the chair. I'm having a rest. Off you go.
Questions, that's all.
I thought Doku didn't get as much of the ball as... maybe he should have, actually. And when there were times when he did get it, when he looked like he was going to take Reece James to pieces a little bit. He just didn't quite get the momentum on it. But look, Reece James is a very, very good defender. I mean, he's arguably the sort of successor we would want for Kyle Walker when, God help us, Kyle hangs up his boots, whatever it is he's going to be doing. Gets nicked, probably, I don't know. But he's a great defender, and sometimes you've just got to hand it to a defender and say, he's done really well.
And we can't expect Docker to do that every week. I mean, he took Milner to the cleaners, didn't he? I mean, he had Milner on toast. They hooked Milner.
Yeah.
There's a difference. The difference on Sunday was that Palmer was second marking Doku. So it wasn't just James who was defending against him. He had two players to beat, which gave advantages elsewhere on the pitch, which didn't quite come out. The other exciting battle was between Walker and Sterling, and they clearly, you know, they're great friends, they like each other, but they went for it hell for leather, and Sterling won quite a lot of the time, which is unusual because he's not often very good in those one-to-one situations.
Welcome back, Nigel.
Lovely. Welcome to the John Stapleton Show. This is Nigel Rothband just here, just to sort of fill in. John's having a lie down, and we wish him well, which is to be expected, really. Can I just move on from the gavel? I've got one eye on the clock here. I just want to talk about the England squad. We're obviously going into an international break, and I seem to have talked about more non-City players than City players this week on the show. But we've got Foden, City player. We've got Cole Palmer. We've got Kieran Trippier. I'm coming up with four former City Academy players. And the fourth one, of course, is Rico Lewis, 18-year-old Rico Lewis, named in the England squad. So 2 points, really. One is what a fantastic result for him. What a player, what a prospect. Obviously, a few injuries have meant that he's got himself in. But Rob, to have Rico Lewis in that lineup, and secondly, for City to have four Academy players just shows what a machine that is as well.
It does. And I think that City have made around £400 million from selling academy players, which means that they can invest where they want to. And I don't think any club has done as well as that. I'm really thrilled for Lewis. He's very modest. He's tremendously talented. And it'll do him good because, you know, he needs to understand how good he is. And to get that experience of the England squad, so that's really good news, and well done, Palmer as well. He certainly deserves it on his current form.
Is Rico Lewis going to make it, Nick? Do you think he's kind of, is this a few injuries? He's kind of a bit of a shining light at the moment, playing in a fantastic team under Pep. Give him his chance, or do you think he's the real deal?
I think he's got a very good chance. I think he's slightly handicapped from a size perspective, but you know he certainly needs to build up his body strength, et cetera, but we always sort of say that about young kids like that, and he'll grow into himself, as they say, I'm sure. I think he's talented. I wouldn't say I was absolutely 100% certain. In the way that I was with Phil Foden a few years ago. And I don't think, and I've said it before, and in fact, Rob bullied me the last time we were both on a few weeks ago when I talked about Rico Lewis. And I unfavourably commented on him in comparison to John Stones, and Rob was very mean. But I will say it again. He's got a lot to do, and he's got plenty of time to do it, but he's clearly got the talent to do it, and I vehemently hope that he does. Fantastic for him to be in the England squad from an experience perspective and a confidence perspective. I think it's brilliant.
Before I go to John Stapleton, I must allow Rob Behrens to come back. You used the word bullied, and he was mean. So, Rob, you must, the right of reply is with Rob Behrens.
Well, it's absolutely disgraceful that I should be accused of bullying anybody, especially Nick Goldstone, who I greatly respect and listen to with great care. So I'm not having that. Maybe mean is another word for being rigorous and questioning, and I would accept that.
Apology accepted. Thank you. Let's move on.
John, back. It's your show, John. So back to you, please.
I'll be as brief as I can. I'm very impressed by the boy. I think he's a fantastic player, not least because he seems to play anywhere. Well, not anywhere, but two or three different positions as well. And how old is he? 17, 18 years old? I can't believe it.
He's 18.
18, yeah. I read a long interview with him in the Mail the other day. Also seems to be very well grounded. He hasn't got, you know, hasn't got a bob on himself like some kids have at that age when they get elevated to that level of stardom so quickly. Huge talent. And we're, again, and a tribute to the guys who run the academy and have run the years. Jason Wilcox most recently, until recently, and Jim Gasell before him. You know, what a fantastic job they've done. I didn't realise it was £400 million that's they've made from those players. That's staggering. That's staggering.
Really. Amazing.
Great business, you know. And, you know, let's face it too, very few of them make it into City's first team, but they get very good careers out of the training City gave them. And that's a great tribute to Manchester City and in the contribution they make to football generally.
Let's talk about Manchester City then and the next three games in particular, because they make interesting reading how the fixtures sort of turn up. We've got, obviously, the international break, as I mentioned, coming up. And then after that, we have got Liverpool at home, Spurs at home, and high-flying Aston Villa away. So, Nick, they are three significant games, and a lot, you know, what are your sort of hopes and fears for those three games and how it sort of pans out after those three?
Hopes and dreams. Well, last time, you know, I was on, we just lost to Arsenal. We weren't enormously upset at that point either. And when we went on to win five games in a row, it would not remotely surprise me if we win all of those games. We've got home advantage, Liverpool and Spurs, which is hugely important in those two fixtures in particular, I would say. So we shall see. I think it's good timing in that John, you know, the international break, hopefully John Stones does get back for those games. We've got a potential Rodri issue, who's on another yellow would mean he's suspended. So if he gets one against Liverpool, he's out for the Spurs game. Liverpool are on a bit of a roll, but are they that good? I'm not sure. Saw that Luton. Was it Luton? They were bloody awful. Not sure we've got too much necessarily to fear there, but, you know, there's always a good chance that they're going to turn in a really good performance. And we know what we're like against Spurs. Spurs have taken a bit of a whacking in the past week, both in terms of results and injuries. So they have been knocked right down to size for the time being. But I'm sure there's some way that we can find to screw that game up. So nothing would surprise me, but I think I'd be fairly confident that we'd come out the other side of that run with a pretty decent set of results.
It's a critical period, John. How do you look at it?
I was just looking at those three names. I made a note of the three names, three teams you mentioned there. I reckon 6 points out of nine would be a good result there. And you know, the one I don't fear most, but I think where we may slip up is Villa. You know, Villa are on a roll at the minute. They've got a damn good manager there. No major stars in their team, but they're a very, very useful outfit. I would forecast a win over Liverpool. I think we will at last score a goal against Spurs. Well, I know we've scored at City against Spurs. We haven't scored a single goal at their stadium yet, their new stadium yet, have we? I'm sure we can put that right. I think Villa's the one with potentially the trickiest, maybe because we'll relax a little bit there. I don't know. 6 out of 9 would do me fine.
You happy with that, Rob?
Well, I don't know about Villa not having major stars. They have a former City player who is on fire at the moment, and we need to watch out for him. And they have a wonderful striker as well. So, you know, they're no pushovers. I agree with John. It's lovely to hear Jurgen Klopp whinging already about the kickoff time for the Liverpool game, as if, you know, that's unfair to his team. So, but that will be a tough one. And Spurs, as Nick says, it's better to play them after they've imploded than before they imploded, because they've looked like a very good team. And they have another player who was one of ours, Porro, who's playing very well at the moment as well. But, you know, we can't think about the others too much. We have to think about ourselves. And I think Rodri was saying after the game that everyone needs to look at themselves and think about how they can do better than they did on Sunday. And so I think the break comes at a good time. And I'm very optimistic about doing well in each of those games.
So thinking about ourselves, fine, but I'm going to look at the others as well before we depart. Last question of the show is just kind of the threat. Who's the biggest threat to City this season as we look forward? And I'm going to come to you, John. Obviously, we've got Liverpool, who at the moment are 1 point behind. Arsenal, same number of points. Then Spurs, Villa, as you said, on a bit of a roll. And then it's down to Stretford and Newcastle a bit lower down. But who do you think at the end of the season will be the key threats to City, who are going to stop them from getting this unprecedented four on the bounce Premier League titles?
I think Spurs will fade as they normally do as the season rolls on. I don't think they have what Jimmy Hill used to call the strength and depth to sustain a challenge against City for the title. Arsenal, I think, probably the biggest threat of all. Liverpool, maybe, but Arsenal for me, you know, they're a damn good team. They've got a good manager, taught by the master himself. A very good squad, supplemented by at least two of our former players. Again, we are benevolent, aren't we? Yes, I say Arsenal the biggest threat of all.
Okay, Rob, would you agree with John? Do you have a different threat?
I do. I think Liverpool and Arsenal are the two biggest threats to us. You can't write Liverpool off. They've got into a good stride. A lot depends on who signs whom in January. We don't know what's going to happen then, and that will be very interesting. And, you know, I know that Pep says we're a big club and we don't mind who we sell to, but you don't want to sell Calvin Phillips to one of those teams, in my view. So I would worry about Liverpool and Arsenal. Although I think my last point would be that Arteta's had a bad couple of weeks. He's shown himself to be undisciplined and lacking in authority at critical times, and that's not good for Arsenal.
And finally, Nick Goldstone.
Arsenal.
Short and sweet. Not like you, but there you go. It's welcome. It's welcome. Thank you, Nick. Listen, if you've enjoyed the show tonight, my name's John Stapleton. If not, it's Nigel Rothband. Thanks to my three guests, to Nick Goldstone, to the great, the one and only John Stapleton, and to Rob Behrens. This is Nigel Rothband saying thanks for listening, and we'll talk to you all very soon.
If you want to advertise on or sponsor this show, check us out at playbackmedia.co.uk.
Sports Social Podcast Network.